2 Samuel 22, verses 47 through 51. These are God's words. Yahweh lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Yahweh, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his seed forevermore. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. You may have noticed as you were following along in your Bibles that instead of descendants, plural, we read seed, singular, the end of verse 51. That is because the word seed in the Hebrew can mean singular or plural. But in the New Testament, speaking of Abraham and his seed, it makes the point that often, or at least in that one case, but we see the same thing often in the Old Testament, the word seed singular is especially talking about Jesus. And it does talk about us to the extent that we belong to Jesus. And so Jesus is the seed who will crush the woman's head, and God will soon crush the serpent under our feet, says Romans chapter 15. But it first and foremost belongs to Jesus, and it only belongs to us in him. Jesus is the seed who is the heir, H-E-I-R, the one who rightfully inherits. And we are offspring in Christ, who are joint heirs with him, but it only belongs to us secondarily. God shows his steadfast love to his anointed, which means in the Hebrew, or an anglicization of it, is Messiah, or in Greek would be Christ. He shows steadfast love, covenanted love, to his Christ, to David and his seed forevermore. The Lord Jesus here is the antitype, the great and ultimate one to whom the type, David, looked forward. He is the King, 51a. He is the Christ, 51b. He is the seed, 51c. In fact, the praise that we see on David's lips was perfectly thought and sung by Christ. Some things that David sang with reference to forgiveness of sins, the Lord Jesus has to sing and pray in union with us, because we are the ones who have the sin. And yet this would have taught our dear Lord, as he grew in wisdom and favor with God and with men, what he was accomplishing and the joy to which he was looking forward, the joy that was set before him, even as he despised the shame and endured the cross for that joy that was set before him. Just as David and his story was one of having many enemies and being in many dangers, even of death, so also that looked forward to our Lord Jesus having many enemies, in fact, the enemy, and all sinners as his enemies. And a great part of the gospel, Romans chapter 5 tells us, is that we who had been loved from before the world began, and yet in our sin and sinfulness were enemies to Christ, he loved us and gave his life for us. And so Jesus had a life story in this world and a climax of not just having enemies and being in danger of death, but of laying down his life unto death. And yet he had authority to lay it down, and he had authority to take it up again. And he was raised from the dead, and the beginning of Romans chapter 1 tells us that this displayed him to be the Son of God with power. And God receiving the sacrifice of his Son and raising him up. And there's no conflict. The scripture says that Jesus raised himself up, and the scripture says that God raised him up. And the scripture says that the Father raised him up, but there's no conflict in this at all, because Jesus is God, and he raised himself up. And the Father and the Son and the Spirit are three persons, but one God. And in everything they do in our world, they do in perfect union as the one God. And so the praise here that belongs to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. You can see this climax of praise, this great psalm that describes the goodness and power of God in the life of David, looking forward to the goodness and power of God in the life of our Lord Jesus, the King, the Christ, the Seed. And therefore, for us in Christ, and for us from Christ in our own lives, in our own troubles, in our own death, with our own enemies. The psalm describing the praise of God in his goodness and power in our lives. And so we learn here how to think about our enemies and our troubles, and we learn here how to respond to our enemies and our troubles. So he begins in verse 47, Yahweh lives, blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. Yahweh himself is his rock of salvation. Yahweh is his God. And he's praising the Lord for vengeance, verse 48, and deliverance, verse 49. Vengeance has to do with our enemies, those who hate us and want to destroy us. This is what the devil has been, even from before the fall. Adam was made in the image of God, and the devil hates God and hates his image and hates Adam. He is the murderer from the beginning. He is a liar and the father of it. And when he lies, he speaks from his own character, says Scripture. And this lie was first and foremost in order to murder. And so verse 48 tells us that the glory of God as the living God and the rock, the exalted one, the God of our salvation, the glory of God from verse 47 and those four things, is his glory as our avenger. It is God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. Of course, that applies to Christ and applies to us with him. Sometimes we like to tell our littlest one when she is talking about how she'd like to be a princess, that those who belong to God and Jesus Christ, as he has set his sign upon her, are already declared from heaven to be a princess. And those who belong to God in Jesus Christ through faith are adopted into being everlasting princes and princesses who rule with Christ. It will be a marvelous kingdom in which all of the people, that is, the redeemed, are of the ruling class, and the rest is just the new heavens, the new earth, and the angels, who are the servant class, tells us the scripture, which is astonishing to think about. And yet here it is primarily God who avenges Christ, God the Avenger. So when you have enemies, you should remember that no enemy will remain that way forever for God's people. that God will surely avenge all of his people, and that one great reason for you to have this enmity, for you to be the object of such hatred, is that God would get glory as your avenger. And so if you love his glory, and you know one of the ways that he is glorified is by being your avenger, your defender, the one who makes things right, the one who pays back on your behalf, then when you have enemies, you will not be in you will not be anxious, and you will not be fearful. You will rejoice over God that he, in his wisdom, has this situation in which to glorify himself as your avenger. That's how to think about your situation. It'll keep you from doing things that many do when they feel like they have no avenger, and they feel like they have to make the situation right for themselves, and they feel like they have to pay back for themselves. People who feel like that often obsess about how to get back or get out or pay back the one who has become an enemy to them. You don't need to do that, because that's how God glorifies himself in that situation. By making himself your avenger, that actually frees you to love your enemy. In the end of Romans 12, it tells us that when you do that, you heap burning coals upon his head. So if you're loving your enemy and God saves your enemy, you rejoice that the enemy was killed at the cross of Jesus Christ and has been raised again and with Jesus as a person. What a marvelous way for the enemy to be destroyed. And if not, your loving your enemy will increase their guilt, will increase the vengeance that belongs to the Lord for his payback, will magnify the glory of God as he pays back on your behalf. So if you love God's glory as your avenger, and as if you see situation with your enemy as an opportunity in the wisdom and providence of God to glorify himself as your avenger, it actually frees you to serve God in that situation and love your enemy more. Well, God's glorified not only as our avenger, verse 48, but also as our deliverer. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. And so this also is with enemies, but it's with a focus on us. When we are in a situation that threatens even death, the Lord is giving us in his providence an opportunity for him to be glorified as our deliverer, as the one who gets us out, as the one who saves us, redeems us, turns it for our good, makes it so that we bless his name for having gone through it, because we have known what it was to rest in him and to rejoice that he is about to be glorified as a deliverer. If you're a Christian, when you're in trouble, or when you are, even if it's sickness, or if it's war, or if it's financial trouble, or neediness of some kind, or your weakness or inability in a particular situation, whatever kind of trouble it is, you know that your troubles' days are numbered. Are there going to be troubles in glory? Are there going to be troubles for us in the new heavens and the new earth? Will he not wipe every tear from our eyes? Will he not have made us holy and banished sin? Will there be any enemies remaining? Even death itself, the last enemy, which will be defeated and cast into the lake of fire? Of course not. And so all of our troubles are time limited and will come to an end. The purpose of a trouble is for us to be delivered out of them and for God to be glorified as our deliverer. And so you can welcome your trouble. You can say, ah, trouble, here you are, as God has appointed for my deliverance and for his glory in delivering me. And it may take some time, and we being finite and impatient and weak in our current state may find that the time feels very long, and you can cry out to God, God, give me eyes of eternity. Give me eyes for your glory. Make me love the fact of your deliverance, future though it may be. Make me love the length of my uninterrupted blessedness, eternal as it is, but future may though it be, make me love your glory in delivering me from this trouble, so that I may rejoice and marvel already at your fulfilling your purpose. Now there are other reasons for troubles. He uses troubles to convert others, or to give us the privilege of having been used in their conversion. He uses troubles to glorify himself in the work he's already done in us by his answering those prayers and making us to suffer patiently. He uses troubles to sanctify us, to grow us in the holiness of resting upon him, rejoicing in him. He uses troubles to chasten us, to arrest us and bring to mind sin that must be mortified. And there are many other reasons. But one reason is so that he will be glorified as our deliverer. And that is always one reason. And here, at the climax of this psalm of praise, 2 Samuel 22 or Psalm 18, where this psalm is also found, at the climax, he's praising God for God's glory as our deliverer out of trouble. And we can view our trouble that way. If we learn to love God's glory as our avenger, then throughout the rest of your life, when someone rises up against you as an enemy, you may think rightly in that situation and confidently and joyously about the glory of God that will come from it. And you can imitate your Lord Jesus, who even on the cross despised the shame for the joy, but endured it patiently for the joy set before him. May the Lord grant to us also to do so with all of our enemies and all of our crosses, knowing that he has joined us to, as verse 51 calls him, his King, his Christ, his seed. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for bringing us to yourself in this portion of your word on this particular day, and teaching us as your children. We pray that your Spirit, who makes us to call you Father and who has brought us to you through faith in Christ, that he would produce in us that childlike love for your honor and your glory, that childlike confidence in you as both avenger and deliverer, and that being taught by your Spirit from your word to love your glory, that we might respond well and have even the joy of Christ in the midst of all of our troubles for the rest of this life. We thank you that the rest of this life is the only length of time that we will have the trouble. And so as you glorify yourself in our lives day to day, we pray that you would do all that is necessary to bring us to the time when our troubles are ended, and when our love for your glory has been perfected. Grant it, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.